Welcome to the weekly wrap-up, everybody. Drew, welcome back, buddy.
Always nice to be here.
Chris Z is in the studio with us. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to SkidRowStudios.com. This is the weekly wrap-up. Call in 800-893-9562. We're going to talk about North Korea being able to get it up and not keep it up. Election politics. Mel Gibson goes on a good Jew-hating rant. It's been a little while.
It's some been sports. Too long.
It's fantastic. He hates almost everybody. We'll talk a little sports. We got some playoffs starting and some playoffs already started. We also have Bobby Petrino and Ozzie Guillen I want to talk about. But first, let's talk about the big news of Mr. Zimmerman finally getting arrested.
Technical difficulties?
Technical difficulties.
Keep talking, Tim.
We hear it, but I don't hear it loudly. But George Zimmerman was finally arrested after a couple of months. It was for second-degree murder. Because it was not actually...
It wasn't premeditated.
Right, which is, I don't think really anybody argues. His lawyers quit. His two lawyers that he had the whole time quit, which, you know, nice. They said they lost contact with him, but he did call the prosecutors and he called Sean Hannity on his own.
I would call Sean Hannity.
Dude, if I was trapped somewhere and needed only to call somebody for help and my phone could just reach Hannity, I'd try to fight my way out.
If I was currently the nation's most hated racist murderer, I would probably call Fox News for defense as well. They're probably the most likely person to defend you.
Exactly. Who else are you going to call?
Even his lawyers are like, I'm out of here. I quit. I'm going to teach law.
They immediately get on TV and say he may be having some sort of nervous breakdown, which I think calling Hannity shows right off the bat.
So you're saying he's setting up his own insanity defense?
That's not his in Hannity defense. Is that what you're planning?
In Hannity defense.
That is not bad.
I do wish I'd caught the interview so I could have found out how this is Obama's fault.
Okay, let's take a listen to this.
Yesterday, the special prosecutor assigned to the Trayvon Martin case pressed charges against George Zimmerman. He was charged with second-degree murder, which, if he is convicted of, has a life sentence attached to it. So the only reason why he wasn't charged with first-degree murder is because it needs to be premeditated in order to be charged as first-degree murder.
So second-degree murder is... You know, if he gets it, appears to be some degree of justice. Him getting charged on that is, to our reading of the facts of the case, just from our perspective, we're not the prosecutors, obviously, appears to be correct. So I'm happy about that. And I think the most important part of this is vindication for the people who have been putting the spotlight on this case. Because, you know, I think without that spotlight, there's no way in the world that Trayvon Martin's family would have gotten justice.
Now, Angela Corey, who is the special prosecutor in this case, gave a press conference yesterday.
Today, we filed an information charging George Zimmerman with murder in the second degree. A capias has been issued for his arrest. With the filing of that information and the issuance of a capias, he will have a right to appear in front of a magistrate in Seminole County within 24 hours of his arrest, and thus formal prosecution will begin. I will confirm that Mr. Zimmerman is indeed in custody. Ms. Zimmerman, I will not tell you where. That's for his safety as well as everyone else's.
Nice. First of all, what the hell is a capias?
I don't know, but can I just say something? I'm kind of hoping he gets found not guilty.
Seriously, you want to see a riot?
Well, I could use a new flat screen TV.
Yeah, I figured there was a Rodney King theme joke in there somewhere.
I have to tell you, I came here. I moved here to LA from Orlando, Florida. Sanford is literally our neighbor. It's about 20 minutes away. So if I hadn't left 8 years ago, I would leave before the verdict was announced, just in case he's found not guilty.
I would at least pack up my shit. Yeah, there's no doubt. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing: is I know that they filed charges, but that's why I played that clip at the end instead of the beginning, because I don't know what a capias is. She said some kind of capias was filed. Then again, a year ago, I didn't know what a blumpkin was either. So I guess you can learn stuff.
A capias is a fish.
Really? Okay, so they filed a fish.
Yes.
On second degree murder. So Now, first of all, part of the clip, and here's the thing, is most of what I cut out of that audio clip was, believe it or not, that something was cut out of that audio clip, was that they continued to give themselves a lot of love, the press, for talking about the case as much as they did.
You mean the press or the prosecutor?
No, these two, the press, these two people that were talking about, these two news people that were talking about, you know, I believe he said at one point, the most important part of this is the vindication for the people that continue to talk about it, talking about themselves. And then the next one, what I cut out was then both taking a turn saying, you know what, we did a great job.
So this is not the news conference with, forgive me, I was mistaken. I thought this was the news conference where the prosecutor announced the charges, where she did a big buildup of like, literally like three, it was like a 3-minute drum roll for her own self before she announced the charge. I would like to thank my secretary and my producer. It's like an Oscar speech.
A prosecutor comes out with an opening act before she announces it. That's nice. That's fantastic.
Big hand for my opener.
Ladies and gentlemen, do the red carpet walk before she got there.
Before we announce the charges, 38 special, ladies and gentlemen. Nice.
Hold on loosely.
Now, here's the thing, is it can still be thrown out before it even goes to trial because they're going to have a hearing on the Stand Your Ground. He's still going to first claim self-defense while using the Stand Your Ground law.
Well, they're going to, not just now, I'm sure that's going to go straight through. Even if they do follow through on the indictment, that's going to use that. That the trial is going to be based on that. He's got nothing else.
Right, but strangely enough, it's a lesser burden of proof. If right now for this opening trial, for this opening hearing, to see whether or not Stand Your Ground was able to be used.
Essentially, what he just needs to be believable in convincing somebody, like a prosecutor, somebody that he was scared. Is that basically it?
Yes. I mean, now, I don't think they've said how they're planning on trying to argue around the fact that he had left his car. You know, he had obviously acknowledged when they said on a 911 tape, we don't need you to follow him. He said, okay, and then followed him. So whether he was retreating or not, you know, I mean, at what point to stand your ground? Can you just keep moving your ground until you're right in that guy's face?
I know, I love that.
Well, he has a lot of ground.
Not as much as he did. He seems to have lost some weight.
I would love to know after this, what can't you claim self-defense for?
Well, that is interesting. I mean, they said since Stand Your Ground, which I'm sure is going to get a lot of press, obviously, during this trial, since that came into play, which I believe was in 2005, justifiable homicides went up 200%.
Well, I beg your pardon, probably claims of justifiable homicides.
No, actually awarded justifiable homicides. I'm not saying that the victim was going to
say. You're saying there's no chance any of those decisions were wrong.
Oh, no, I'm not questioning that. I'm saying that legally that was eventually what the ruling was. It numbers-wise, it actually went up. They said actual verdict of justifiable homicide went up 200%.
I wonder if there's anyone who's criticizing this law who's ever been the victim of violent crime. Because it really is easy to talk. But the fact of the matter is, I think I just mentioned this to you before the show. It happened in January of last year, and in Florida, no less. Jogging, and a teenager was apparently kind of waiting, laying in wait, and he punched him in the face. He was going to rob him. Guy was packing a gun, and he shot him, and no charges were filed because of this law.
I don't have a problem with that. Yes, sadly, I don't have a problem with that guy. If you're going to jump on someone, you better hope he doesn't have a gun.
Yeah, part of your story was he jumped out and punched him in the face.
Yeah, stand your ground. I'm fine with standing your ground being that's where my face was. I'm fine with that being justifiable for stand your ground. But I tracked him down, and then he got annoyed that I was trailing him and maybe confronted me. Seems, you know, that seems questionable at best.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to stand my ground in my car. If somebody cuts me off, that's why I don't carry a gun.
I would be shooting people.
I would stand my ground 10 times a day.
Yeah,
you will not stand your ground.
Did I just hold the door open for you and you walked in without saying thank you? Bam.
Now, let me ask you, though, both about the media's role in this, though. Now, do you feel, with what you know, I'm assuming, do you guys feel that... And you don't know yet, all the facts haven't come out, but would you still assume that this guy is as racist as you did when all the info first came out?
No, absolutely not. I don't, and the reason, what kind of changed it a lot for me is when that whole NBC thing came out, you know, everybody was playing the clip, I think he's black. It's like, left on its own, That's you know, sounds kind of racist.
Now, are you talking about the real clip or the edited clip?
That's the edited clip where he said, I think he's black. The unedited clip is like, is he white, Mexican,
yeah,
black?
Yeah, ask the question.
Yeah, you give him multiple choice and the guy answers one of them. That doesn't make you racist.
No, 911 specifically asked the question, describe the man, is he black, white, Hispanic, or and he answered.
And he didn't come with, he's a coon. He came with, I think he's black.
No, and the part where they thought he came with coon, turns out he said punks. So,
yeah, you know, maybe my hearing's not that good.
Well, yes.
Every time I, like, they play it, like, we're just going to play it 10 times and you make your own decision. You know what I hear is, like, you know, whenever they have, like, they say ghosts are coming through the radio or, like, any of those shows where
they tell you what, ghost hunters, what you're hearing?
If you listen, if you listen closely, the ghost clearly says, I'm going to kill you. Oh,
right.
Oh, okay, because it sounded just like whispers, like inaudible whispers to me.
Or a dog bark.
I watch those shows and I realize I am probably the seventh most gullible individual. As long as you tell me what it says underneath, I'm like, obviously, that's what that static is saying. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, so much evidence has come out, and that was my problem with the media, is that it's a fine line between drawing attention to it, which was huge because this kid's, you know, he doesn't get arrested. Zimmerman doesn't get arrested and the whole thing goes away if they don't have draw attention to it. However, to already give us his motivation for the killing, you have him as a racist and he may be. I don't know if he is or not, but I'm saying you already have the motivation for the killing where even if he did kill him, I'm sorry, we know he killed him, but even if he was completely in the wrong, it could just be because he's some crazy wannabe cop. It has nothing to do with race.
And it sound, that's a far more likely explanation since he does have some sort of criminal history in his past. But no, they wanted to make him a racist, by God, and they did it. That's why they would refuse to acknowledge that the man is 50% Latino. The same people who call our president the first black president refuse to acknowledge that this man is Latino.
Yes, but what the Zimmerman half hates the Latino half. I don't know if you knew that. All right, let's move on to North Korea. North Korea doing the missile test despite being told not to. Listen to this.
We have breaking news out of North Korea. North Korea has launched that long-range rocket, a rocket powerful enough that it eventually could be threatening to the United States. A dramatic statement by the mysterious young dictator there. But let's go straight to ABC's Martha Raddatz.
Diane, it launched just a short time ago, and a U.S. official has told me already they believe the launch failed. Right after the first stage booster dropped, they believe this failed. They said there was a brighter than normal flare after about 90 seconds. They lost contact with the rocket, and they believe it has fallen apart. Of course, the previous tests of long-range rockets also failed. North Korea was hopeful this would go about 1,600 miles, be launched into orbit, but apparently, according to a U.S. official, that has not happened.
Now, I like the fact that you both had, I was watching you guys during that specific part of the clip because that's what caught my attention as well. It broke apart? Is that what it did?
Yeah, well, to be fair, like, it's a three-stage rocket. One of the stages was mostly aluminum foil and duct tape.
Yeah, the reason the rocket failed is because it was built in North Korea.
Right. Yeah. This is shocking. I mean, have you ever bought anything made in North Korea?
I drive a Hyundai, guys. This is no surprise to me.
I remember when I was 12 years old and I would build those rockets that you can send up and you're like, that breaks apart. But even those worked. I got those to work.
I'm sure they had one of those guys. You know those little things you used to have to pump up? Like with the water in the air. It's like,
oh, with
you
the water,
gotta really pump that thing hard to get it into orbit.
Well, that is why they're 0-3. They're 0-3 so far. But now the strange thing is
they keep trying.
They do. Well, that's nice. That's nice. And Iran's rooting for them because apparently they've spent combined like $100 million trying to figure out between the nuke tests and rockets that can get long, that can go long distance.
Yeah, and yet they have no food and the people there are actually getting smaller.
Are they shrinking?
They are. It was just in the paper yesterday. They had to lower the height requirement for their military.
That's recurring malnutrition.
Yeah, to 4'9".
4'9"?
4'9" is now the minimum height requirement for a soldier in the North Korean army. So could you imagine a large wave of Lilliputians just coming running at you? It's like...
The good news is that you can be a general in that army. You're enormous in that army.
We represent
Save your
the
bullets.
Lollipop
just
guild.
Kick them. Just kick them.
That's... That's tough. Well, first of all, the thing is, obviously, as poor as the rest of the country is, it doesn't matter because the people that are in charge, obviously, they're doing fine.
Well, they don't have enough money for colored clothing.
Well, you know, let's hope that things continue this way, because maybe one day that their leadership will end up the same way Muammar Gaddafi ended up, or Saddam Hussein ended up, where the people go, you know what, I've been starving. Three generations have been starving.
They're going to be too weak to do anything.
That is true, but you know what, here's the strange thing, is that it's tough. I don't understand how we can make an argument to any other country that's trying to get nukes, saying it's not worth getting nukes, when as soon as North Korea, who has nothing else, but they have nukes, so you kind of let them do it. Like, oh, well, their guy's crazy. Yeah, that's it. You know, that's basically all we do. It's like, we can't do, we give some sanctions, but who cares? So he starves his people. He doesn't give a shit. He's fine. Guy has a collection of American movies you can't imagine.
That was his dad. We don't really know what the kid's into.
Well, sure. What do you think? Those things all went on eBay? He's got them. Where do you think those films go?
Dude, would you want your dad's movies?
No. Maybe.
I don't know what my dad watched, but I'm pretty sure I don't want them, especially if my mom's in them.
Are they talkies?
I mean, it's like they are an example of, look what happens. Once you get nukes, you guys can't mess with us at all. Even if we have one nuke and we have to put it on a hot air balloon in order to travel it out of the country.
Yeah, I mean, you're launching it by a rubber band. It's not...
Slingshot nukes?
Yeah.
They're coming. They're coming to Kmart.
Yeah, I actually just read an article with this. It was written first-hand account of a woman who grew up in North Korea, and she says she bought it, man. She bought it hook, line, and sinker, the indoctrination. And finally, it was only after three of her close family members died of starvation that she said, like, this system doesn't work. You know, this is clearly a hoax.
She's a slow learner.
Well,
her husband died. This is, 2012, and people are dying of starvation? I mean, that's...
By the way, for those counting at home, Drew leading the league in death jokes. If that we started the tally last week, he's beating me 2-1, I believe. But well done, sir.
Thank you.
You're ahead.
Thank you. Very good.
The strange thing is now they think they're going to do, because they did the rare step. They took the rare step for North Korea of admitting that it didn't work. Although at this stage, how do you deny it? But
they invited press to watch it. It's like, no, it worked fine.
Well, they're fine with the rest of the world knowing, as long as they keep lying to their own people. The rest of the world know. So they acknowledge, but now they think they're going to, in order to kind of get over the embarrassment of that, they're going to do a nuke test. Did you know how many times I've embarrassed myself?
Who fails at something and tries to bite off a bigger piece? You know, instead, usually you get one thing right before you move on to the next thing.
Yeah, couldn't get the rocket to get past stage one. We should probably try nukes.
In the paper this morning, I read a sort of weird but interesting quote. Like Kim Jong-il, the guy's father, it's Kim Jong-un right now.
Is the young son, new right? leadership. Yes.
Well, the father used to have, like, their motto was military first priority. Right?
Yep.
So the kid has come out and said, military should be first, second, and third priority. So you've got starving people, and at best, you've made it to number four.
Yeah, but when those people die of starvation, they will be well protected by the military.
Yeah.
Well protected corpses. Serious ceasefire. We're sending over troops. Well, by the time we finish this broadcast, the ceasefire may be done. But UN has agreed to send in truce monitors. Unarmed truce
30
monitors.
30 unarmed truce. That's got to be like the worst job ever.
Like high school hall monitor.
They're sending over the guardian angels?
Stop it. How do I say that in three different languages?
Yeah, that's you're basically... going to a country where two sides are trying to kill each other. You're an unarmed monitor. You're going...
They give you a badge.
Flashlight.
Are they sending over that that guy on the New York subway who broke up the fight with a snack?
Who is that guy?
You didn't see that? It's all over the internet. This guy, these two people are literally physically fighting. A woman is kicking a man on the subway, and this guy walks between them, but never stops eating he's eating like Fritos or something. Never stops munching him. And the people just stop fighting because there's this guy standing in front of them all of a sudden. And
that's hysterical.
Yeah, so they got him. They set it to music.
Did he share?
They set it to music. No, you know what? He did. He shared peace through himself getting in front of them and eating. That's nice.
I wouldn't stop fighting just because you were eating. Now, if you offered me some, maybe.
That'd be hysterical if that's a new craze. If people start fighting, someone just grabs like a slice of pizza and stands between them and starts chomping. That would be an awesome. It's a lot better than T-bowing. A lot more exciting than T-bowing. All right, let's move on since until more shit happens in Syria, because basically basically they have a ceasefire that seems to be being held together by Band-Aids.
Yeah.
I don't foresee how that's going to stick, but let's move closer to home. Election politics real quick. Santorum finally pulled out. I hard to not make that comment.
Boom.
Yes, thank you.
I'll be here all week.
That's not his first time.
No, I figured it's I'll take my last opportunity to make that joke. Somehow Newt is still in. I don't understand how that's possible.
You kidding? He's the number two guy now.
Well, yes. Well, maybe. Is he even ahead of Ron Paul?
No, he's not. I was kidding.
I was going to say,
are you going by head size? He's number one. Anything other than head size, he's screwed.
It's like he's number two because everybody else quit. I don't know if that makes you number two.
But right now he's going, hey, are we going to debate or what?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they finally, you know, it's going to be Romney versus Obama because Newt's not going to do anything.
Well, let me just, hey, before you move on, I think it's it behooves us and our journalistic integrity to defend Newt, who, as you know, recently wrote a bad check.
But
there were mitigating circumstances that clearly explained why this happened, and the media is bashing him, and he doesn't deserve it.
I didn't know being an idiot was a mitigating circumstance.
No.
To his defense, he said, well, I went back and checked it, and it was entirely a technical question of the bank being closed. That's not a technical question.
I'm going to use that one with my next mortgage payment.
Yeah.
see how they go with that.
It's like, no, guys, it's fine. You see, the account that we had the check on, we closed that account. So that's not really a technical question. We no longer had the account. It's not really a technicality. That's the whole issue.
Yeah. But you should be in charge of the national budget.
Well, maybe he took that money and he used it, put it towards the moon base. But but you look back, and apparently when he was running for office in 92, the candidate that was running against him, their main ad was Gingrich bounced 22 checks that he wrote to the House bank when he was the House Minority Whip. Not a great habit. If you're going to run for president, that's not a great habit. You're like my first roommate in L.A. I wrote a check, but hey, ask the landlord to not cash it for 5 days.
Writing bad checks is such a low class, you know what I mean? It's such a trashy, like I'll actually prefer his moral, what's the word I'm looking for here, Drew? Like his absence of morality and character. I'll let that slide before I'll let writing bad checks slide.
Yeah.
That is such a Jesus, what is he on welfare and food stamps too?
Maybe
Obama is the food stamp president, so I'm sure somehow that's his fault.
That would also be his fault. Yes, that is definitely true. Well, and then he bashes Fox as well recently. He bashed Fox. He said they're in the tank for Mitt Romney. So he doesn't, obviously, he doesn't like the, quote, lamestream media. They all ask stupid questions.
He doesn't like anyone that thinks he should go away.
He thinks, well, he's all right with CNN right now. CNN apparently is the only one he's currently okay with.
That's because they have the big board, which actually fits his head.
That's huge.
No, CNN, correct me.
Size board.
Correct me if I'm wrong. CNN employs John King, who for some reason took a knee. He T-bowed.
Oh, God, that's right.
Remember that?
That's right. They threw him on the sacrificial altar.
Instead of saying, hey, Newt, I'm a journalist. I'm here to ask you questions, especially the questions everyone in the country is wondering right now. I apologize for asking you the question that you must have known was coming.
Yeah, the fact that John King didn't drop an F-bomb immediately, not even the least of which to not say anything, but... That was tough, but we're obviously going to get down to Romney and Obama, which is going to be, you know, one of the big issues. It's going to be the big economic difference between Buffett plan versus Ryan plan versus the Buffett rule. But it's also going to be the war on women, and whether or not that difference is going to be, because there's a big difference. There's like a almost 18 point difference, I believe, in polls for the women in favor of Obama over Romney. But at this point in time, in an attempt to flip the script, a Democratic strategist put their foot in it. Let's listen to this.
8:43 p.m. Eastern Time, CNN contributor Hillary Rosen, a prominent Democratic strategist on Anderson Cooper 360, goes after Mitt Romney's wife.
What you have is Mitt Romney running around the country saying, well, you know, my wife tells me that what women really care about are economic issues. And when I listen to my wife, that's what I'm hearing. Guess what? His wife has actually never worked a day in her life. She's never really dealt with the kinds of economic issues that a majority of the women in this country are facing in terms of how do we feed our kids, how do we send them to school, and how do we worry, and why do we worry about their future?
At 10:07, the Romney campaign springs into action. On Twitter, Romney's message man, Eric Fernstrom, incorrectly labeling Rosen an Obama advisor, accuses her of going on CNN to debut a new kill Ann strategy, in the process insulting working moms. At 10:18, Ann Romney herself weighs in. I made a choice to stay home and raise five boys. Believe me, it was hard work. At 10:42, none other than the manager of the Obama reelection campaign tweets, distancing himself and his organization from Rosen. At 10:58, Rosen is actually tweeting Ann Romney. No apology yet, but complimentary. Please, I admire you, but your husband shouldn't say you are his expert on women and the economy. At 10:42 in the morning, Ann Romney was on Fox News. In just 12 hours, the controversy had gone full circle, from cable news to social media, and reemerged on TV with new power.
My career choice was to be a mother. And I think all of us need to know that we need to respect choices that women make. Other women make other choices to have a career and raise family, which I think Hillary Rosen has actually done herself. I respect that. That's wonderful. But, you know, there are other people that have a choice. We have to respect women in all those choices that they make.
Yeah, so that the only reason why I left that second hour in that clip was because the comment of the choice, which I'm surprised nobody's really seized on yet.
Yeah, they're all pro-choice as long as, you know, the choices are the ones they like.
Yeah, you should respect the choices women make unless it's about their own body, in which case you should respect our choice. But in this specific case, they are going, the Romney campaign is starting an early, I know you are, but what am I defense with the war on women?
Well, the whole thing for me is it's absurd when you talk about, they're nitpicking. Like, I don't think she was saying at any point it's not hard work to be a mom, but they're talking about the financial thing. And when you're talking about Mitt Romney's wife, yeah, she might have, kudos to her. She took care of the kids. But when your husband is worth over $100 million, you don't, 250, because that's a big difference. But, you know, when after that first $50 million, I'm thinking the rules start to change.
Yeah, but when you can say $250 million.
Right. But then what I'm saying is you, even if you're taking care of the kids, it is not the same as someone else who is taking care of kids. There is no part of me that believes there is not a housekeeper. Yeah. Or a nanny.
Or both.
Or, yeah, like
you have a driver
the private
for
school.
The housekeeper.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, even Mitt Romney himself screwed up and had said a little while back, he's like, oh, she chooses from a couple Cadillacs that she drives, as opposed to the one on, you know, the woman who has to take a bus to two different jobs to try and get top ramen.
And that's only because her two kids are living in the Cadillac.
Right.
That's, I mean, and not to mention the fact that a lot of women can't make that choice because they have to work and they have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, but you can't blame the, politically, you can't blame them for saying, oh, it's, you know, we're going to seize on that. But I mean, that's literally a semantics error. That is, instead of her saying earning a paycheck, she said didn't work.
Yeah.
And they're seizing on that. At that point, they know they're down by 18-19% to women. If they can get a, hey, we're not attacking women, they are, fantastic.
I also think they throw titles around a little easily. Like, Democratic strategist, basically any person they call in to sit on a panel and give their opinion, they either label them, it's a Republican strategist or a Democratic strategist. By that definition, we hear political strategists.
Yes, this is nobody that was speaking for Obama.
Right.
But that doesn't matter. They wanted De Niro to apologize for the, are we ready for a white first lady joke? They wanted Obama to apologize for that. So,
right.
I mean, any semantics error or joke in bad taste made by anybody who's not a Republican, they're going to say is Obama's fault.
Yeah. I mean, the same sort of thing applies to that whole, I was talking to you about this before, the war on women. I think people are using the word war a little loosely. Yeah. It's like, maybe they're attacking some of their rights and things like that, but a war, whether it's a war on Christmas, war, like, war is a very specific thing. No one is going around blowing the women up. That's a war.
unless they happen to be in the abortion clinic at the wrong time.
Point taken.
Thank you very much. Let's listen to this quote, war on women.
The Oklahoma State Senate voted 34-8 Wednesday to establish that life begins at the moment of conception. The so-called personhood bill would give embryos and fetuses all the rights and immunities of other citizens. The state medical association is adamantly against it. Doctors say it could make some reproductive medical procedures and some kinds of birth control illegal.
By the way, Scott Walker, speaking of anti-woman policy, Scott Walker also quietly signed into law another anti-abortion bill and an abstinence bill on the eve of Easter. This is a ban on abortion coverage and policies obtained through a health insurance exchange, and also signing a bill that says teachers in school that offer sex education must stress abstinence as the only sure way to prevent pregnancy and STDs, and declare that sex education teachers do not have to even address contraception.
Realistic. That's nice.
That's it's a very logical strategy, because if you don't address contraception,
Daddy, what is this condom? Oh, look, I can make an elephant. I can make a giraffe.
I mean, like it is true that the only and I'm just playing devil's advocate a little bit here. It is true that the only surefire way to avoid pregnancy or STDs is abstinence. No argument there. I don't have a problem even telling that to kids. That's fine.
That's nice of you.
Well, no. I avoid food poisoning by never eating.
Right. But I'm just saying, you have to present the other side as well. What I'm saying, it is horrible if you start going, that's all we want to tell them.
It's also strange that that's probably the only thing, once you teach them where babies come from, that's probably the only thing that they can figure out on their own.
Yeah.
If I don't do that, I won't have one of those.
Right.
Can I just ask what year or what millennia will it be when conservatives admit that not telling your kids about sex doesn't work? It doesn't keep them from getting pregnant. In fact, in my opinion, it encourages them to do so, because they believe things like, hey, you can't get pregnant your first time, or you can't get pregnant. You know,
if you do jumping jacks right afterwards.
I mean, it is a fact.
That may be true.
Bill Maher talked about it.
Well, I actually do that.
Bill Maher talked about it in one of his specials where they actually followed these kids that were undergoing abstinence-only curriculums. These kids started having more oral and more anal sex, thinking that they'd found a loophole.
Well, they found a loophole, all right.
I guess that's
right. Back to the anal sex.
I don't know about the loop.
Loopish. Go ahead, I'm with you. But Bill Maher, he's getting a lot of flack as well. He was talking about the Hillary Rosen comment, and he basically was saying it's semantics. However, in his attempt to say it's semantics, he said what she meant was that she doesn't get, Ann Romney doesn't get her ass out of the house to earn a paycheck. She doesn't get out of the house at 7 a.m. and have to deal. And basically, technically, he's right. But because he happens to be the largest single donor to an Obama super PAC, they're basically saying, why do you have no problems with your side being a douchebag? And I love Bill Maher, and I don't disagree with his comment, but they're saying that, but yet you're going to jump all over Rush Limbaugh. Is there any comparison between those two?
I think a little bit. When you have people running in a political race, they open themselves up to more criticism, I think, than just someone who was a citizen who was going to go testify before Congress.
In my experience, it's clear that Rush Limbaugh supporters, the far right, whatever you want to call them, are literally think we're stupid. And if they keep kind of not focusing on what Rush Limbaugh actually said, we're going to forget that he attacked a woman that he had no connection to him whatsoever. It was a young woman who was going to testify before a panel or Congress or something.
Congressional hearing.
Yeah, and they're trying to politicize it as though it had something to do with politics. No, he called her a slut. He wasn't making political commentary. He wasn't talking about legislation that's in the works. Hey, let's not try and make legitimize what Rush Limbaugh said about it.
And based, as Drew and I have mentioned before, and based on completely and I'm sure purposely misrepresenting what she was saying.
Yeah, her testimony, he wasn't referring to the testimony she was actually going to give.
Yeah, and if you actually know, because I don't know, I've been on Facebook, I've been on a lot of public forums, and there's a lot of people who I happen to know are right-wing nuts, And they are all coming out and basically trying to, you can't have it both ways. You can't have freedom with your body and then expect the taxpayer to pick up your birth control. It is a widely known fact that there are medical benefits to birth control other than birth control.
Yeah, but science doesn't always, if they've already decided, science doesn't necessarily, if they don't agree with science.
I forgot who we're dealing with.
Yeah, see evolution if you can. When it doesn't fit into the decision you've already made, you move on.
I remember dating a girl when I was 20 years old then who took birth control, not for the purpose of preventing pregnancy, but because she had an erratic menstruation. So, they kept overlooking that. I was seeing mostly males, of course, angry, white, middle-aged
Gus
males.
Gus wants to do an erratic menstruation joke. I can see it on his face.
It's just, I haven't heard that phrase. Go ahead.
It was running all over the room.
Easy. Hey, easy. Easy.
Sometimes it came out of another hole.
Oh. But it was the neighbors. That's even worse. That's horrible. All right, you know what? I want to get to the latest Mel Gibson rant. He left me a message the other day. I saved it. Listen to this.
By the way, Scott Walker, speaking of...
Not Scott Walker. Although Scott Walker did not call me. He doesn't call me back.
Here I told here, in this emotional and in Ausschnitt dessen, was außer ihr, ihre ganz Deutschland steht.
You know, that was actually Mel Gibson's, award speech at the Academy Awards.
I never know what he's talking about when he gets drunk. It's awesome. So he was supposed to, and this blows my mind, that this was even possible blows my mind. He was together with Warner Brothers, was going to, I believe, either produce and then maybe direct.
No, direct. Direct
as well, the story of Judah Maccabee.
Yeah. Jewish hero.
Jewish hero. Now, I understand why Mel Gibson would want to do that. I understand. Well, I mean, I understand you want to, what better can you do at that point? What better step can you attempt to take to try to rehabilitate your image at that point in time? But
yeah,
what's Warner Brothers thinking?
Isn't that sort of like Hitler making a movie like Dreidel, a boy's best friend?
If he thought it was going to get him into office the first time, yes. If you need it to rehabilitate yourself, yes.
I wouldn't do to be at that pitch meeting when Mel Gibson starts talking, telling him about the project, and so who's this guy again? Oh, he's a Jewish, and everybody's just dead quiet, just, going.
Shocking.
They're just trying to avoid
eye contact. Couple Jewish studio heads going. Is he serious?
Warner Brothers currently said the project is on hold and, quote, we are analyzing what to do with the project. First of all, if you can detach Hitler from it, that's a good idea. So for anyone that doesn't know what happened, basically they hired Joe Esterhaus, who is either Jewish or married to a Jewish woman.
He was going to be co-producing this and writing it. But how do you go from Showgirls to the...
Basic Instinct, the writer of Basic Instinct, writer of Showgirls, which was...
Now I'll do the Maccabees.
Perfectly logical stepping stone to a biography about it.
So the first draft was apparently turned down by both Warner Brothers, and apparently Mel didn't like it either.
Too Jewy?
I don't know. Maybe not Jewy enough. I don't know. But once that happened, then Joe Esterhaus let loose with an, quote, open letter, which always seems weird to me. They make it an open letter. You're like, it's not to this person. Let's not pretend it's to this person. Where he basically says Gibson openly used the terms Hebes, Jew boys, and oven dodgers. Even I haven't heard that one before. Said the Holocaust was mostly a lot of horse shit. Oven dodgers just make us sound a little more athletic than we actually are, by the way.
Yeah.
Talking about the woman that he, his ex, who he has, verbally ranted against in the past. I'm going to kill her. He said in front of Esther House's 15-year-old son how he wanted to have anal while stabbing her to death.
Sure.
Nice.
Good conversation for a 15-year-old.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe the 15-year-old brought it up.
It's nothing that 15-year-old hasn't seen on the internet.
That is probably quite true. Gibson obviously didn't, he said it's all false. As opposed to, what are you going to say?
What are you going to say? I said that.
Hey, let me inquire here. I know none of us were present during those conversations, but how did he get those three anti-Semitic slurs in? Like, don't you think the negotiations would have stopped after the first one?
No, they didn't happen in the negotiations. No, they happened over the... They technically were working together for a year and a half.
Yeah, but after, maybe the second one, this guy Esterhaus didn't go, Mel,
Mel, did you forget what happened? What just you? Why we're doing this? Yeah, you can't say
it is
that.
Tough. He's to up sneak. On the oven dodging.
Yeah, it is tough. He'll be like, yeah, hey, can you get your oven dodger son to grab me a sandwich while he's in the kitchen? How do you even sneak that in?
Is Esther House Jewish?
Not in a bad way. Esther House is either Jewish or he's married to a Jewish woman. He's Jewy if he's not Jewish.
You are such an anti-Semite that you're making up anti-Semitic terms because you're not satisfied with the amount that are already out there.
You got to come up with new ones.
There's not enough hateful shit. What did he refer to? He referred to himself during one of his apologies as having a vast reservoir of vile puss. A vast reservoir of vile pus is what he claimed he had.
Who?
Mel Gibson, when apologizing to the 15-year-old.
He's extremely literate.
Yes, yeah. He's very creative when saying, sorry, I'm a hateful, disgusting individual. But you know what Mel would say to that? That's funny.
Can I just say this? I'm going to play the devil's advocate for a minute here, and I'm really not trying to defend Mel Gibson, but he has a history of alcoholism and mental illness, and I just wonder at what point people don't just won't just disregard him once and for all.
That's a fine question. Well, alcoholism does not automatically get you disregarded. And I'm pretty sure Gary Busey's second half of his career is based on him being insane.
Here's the thing. You can be crazy and an alcoholic, but you got to mix it up. He's consistent.
Hateful crazy doesn't go over well.
Yeah, he's consistent in who he goes after.
He goes after everyone. He hates everyone. I mean, he doesn't like the Jews, that's for sure. But I mean, he doesn't like the blacks all that much. He doesn't like the women all that much.
Yeah, but he hasn't really...
He hasn't gone after the American...
Indian?
Yeah, not that often.
He loves them. But he did that movie Apocalypto.
Yeah.
It was an American Indian, but it was...
He was going to do a Judah Maccabee movie. Does that suddenly make him... What does that make him, a rabbi? All right, you guys know Bobby Petrino. I want to get to sports before we run out of time. You guys know Bobby Petrino? I know neither one of you guys follow all that much college sports. Here, I wrote this little song for you.
Riding down the highway of girls on my bike. Man, I never felt so alive. Screaming pig suey at the top of our lungs. Man, I never had this much fun. But then she reached around and put her hand on my thigh. I was in heaven and I closed my eyes. Next thing I knew, I wound up in a ditch. Oh man, I should have never messed with this girl in the athletic department in the volleyball shorts.
It's plenty. He'll repeat that last line. But that's Bobby Petrino, who apparently was coach of the Razorbacks and had the reputation of running a tight ship, and then married and had kids, and technically still has kids, rode a motorcycle in a ditch.
Is she still married?
Yes, for a little bit longer at least. We'll see.
Not so much after this story.
Yeah, we'll see how much she can get. Basically, he rode off into a ditch and then kind of waved off the medical help and the brief investigation, and it seems some things seem to not really match with what they should have figured out. So turns out, hiding.
Are we talking about Ted Kennedy?
No, might as well be.
This guy was on a motorcycle.
Yeah. And
he was on a motorcycle. And how old is he?
I was saying his 50s.
What
60s, but
what's the story?
The story is he basically... He rode his motorcycle off, and when doing the investigation, they found out that it's because he had his 25-year-old mistress in the back of the motorcycle, who he hired, who he was having an affair with, who works at the school, was engaged to somebody else who works at the school while he's married. He lied to officials in order to try to hide the affair. And then it turns out she probably was nowhere close to the most qualified out of all the people to apply for the job. But apparently she put her leg up, which gave her a leg up, and turns out she then had him run into a ditch. Once that happened, job over. $18 million at least that cost him, at least.
So what, did he make her walk home from the accident scene or whatever? He's just get out of here. Just get out of here.
You pretend you're dead in the ditch over there. Completely unrelated ditch accident. That's the thing. Is that how long you think you're going to be able to lie about, oops, sorry, I didn't realize there was somebody else on my motorcycle?
That's tough. No. On the other side, he's going, yeah, that's right. She's 25.
Did she get hurt? Did anyone get hurt?
he got a little scraped up. He came in with the sitcom-y like neck brace and all that stuff, but he's fine. Nobody's in any, I don't think, real physical danger anymore.
Was she like giving him a reach around?
Maybe, according to the made-up song that somebody had on the internet. Yes, maybe. But I don't know. Maybe it was just he can't drive with a hard-on. Maybe he can't control the motorcycle. Whatever the case, here's the thing is, if it was just the affair and that was it, is that enough to fire him on?
In this day and age, yeah.
Should it be?
No, I don't. I'm a moral turpitude.
No, but if he's using school funds to hire an unqualified 25-year-old, yeah.
Yes, and yes, and then she also goes to the school and was engaged to somebody else at the school, and you're married with kids. It doesn't look good, but I think, yes, technically that is probably the only reason why they have a good grounds to fire him. If you hired somebody who's less qualified than other applicants because you're sleeping with her, that's probably good grounds to fire you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you have a good football record.
Now, professional teams have that conduct clause.
Yes.
Is it his college?
Yeah, I think they all probably have that in the clause. But Ozzie Guillen went through a similar problem. Ozzie Guillen, who is recently this year hired to host to manage the Miami Marlins. They just moved there, spent a shitload of money on a new stadium. He goes there, and then an article comes out where he was basically saying he admires Castro, and the whole place freaked out. He is the, as you were talking about earlier, people love to do the Hitler comparisons. They said he is the Hitler in that part of the world or to those people. People, yeah, I know, like you can deal out Hitler's like Uno cards, but this, you know, he is the Hitler of that part of the world. And so they felt obligated to do something. They suspended him for 5 days. He tried to backtrack it. He said, hey, you know what? My fault. I don't think I translated it that well. I was just saying with all these horrible things, I can't believe he's still in power. Even though
he's not even in power, his brother is, but he's still alive, is basically.
Yes, he's alive-ish. Yes.
So he was saying, I admire him as a role model, albeit a horrible role model.
Yeah, I can't believe they couldn't take him out of power is kind of what he was saying. You know, this guy somehow stayed in power despite people not wanting him to still be in power. However, if you look back when he wasn't in Miami, when he was in Chicago, he did another interview where he said, basically, I admire Castro. So, I mean, I think once people paid attention, he went, oh, yeah, what do I need to say to make this go away? Yeah,
no, I know he's Hispanic, right? Well,
yes.
But is he Cuban? Cuban?
I don't know if he's, I don't think he's of Cuban descent, no. Okay. But, I mean, here's the thing. There seems to be a generational.
Maybe he had him confused with the Dos Equis guy.
maybe, but not likely.
The most
dangerous man in the world, the most interesting man in the world, they get confusing.
Can we just agree that from now on, anytime you're tempted to praise Castro or his policies or anything having to do with Castro, just go with Scarface.
Scarface is a, but yes.
But substitute Scarface.
I mean, yes, it seems to be a generational gap, though. There's people, the older generation had actual ties to, they know people who may have been in jailed, may have been killed. People nowadays who grew up here, grew up in Miami, you know, see him as an 85-year-old man with a big Amish-looking beard. And, you know, it doesn't look any different than who I'm going to bump into when I'm visiting my folks in Miami. Except they're not in Miami, but in Florida. So, a generational thing, but don't... If you're hired to work in Miami, don't be like, Fidel's pretty good. Stupidity.
I think, as a country, we should have gotten over Cuba a long time ago.
Yeah, no, that I agree with. Politically, I mean...
It's like, we have enough to worry about. Cuba, not a threat. Let it go.
Wasn't early in Obama's administration, wasn't there some talk of lifting the embargo?
Yes, there was. But much like a lot of other things, once you get in there, you go, oh, this won't win me any votes.
Yeah, but then North Korea launched a rocket.
But we hated Cuba again. who would that really turn off, other than Cubans in Miami who consistently vote Republican anyway?
You know what? Anything you're doing still pro-Cuba or pro-opening things up to Cuba, piss people off. It's, for some reason, still a political hot topic. I don't know why people think that's going to spread.
Yeah, but it can kind of draw them into our web, you know, if we open up economic, you know, I mean, that's what we do with so many oil-rich countries in the Middle East, like Bahrain and...
Yes, but...
Can we sell them something?
Yes, we can, but apparently we're not going to. We're not going to, and we don't... I guess we can't sell enough of it to make it worth it, is the problem. But let's move on to headlines real quick, because we're running out of time.
All right.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just inducted the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Guns N' Roses, who decided Axl Rose decided he didn't want to go there, and asked him not to induct him because they're basically, he doesn't want to get together with the old band.
That and he feels that it somehow diminishes his version of Guns N' Roses that is out on the road now.
Yes, which is Axl Rose and a bunch of people that everyone wishes was the
original
band.
They're not Guns N' Roses.
Right. So Red Hot Chili Peppers, the Beastie Boys, Donovan, and the band Small Faces and Faces, which I could just assume is a midget version, Small Faces and Faces.
It's like that mini Kiss.
Exactly. So Axl Rose says no thanks. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt just got engaged, planning on getting married this summer, which is setting up a huge blockbuster divorce for 2015.
I'm still waiting for my invite.
They are actually, it says they're set to marry at a private chapel in the 35 million pound estate in the south of France. They own property with its own chapel.
Does that mean you have your own priest?
Yeah.
You have your own chapel.
I believe Jesus runs Sunday Mass.
Wow.
Charlie Manson, tough segue from Jesus to Charlie Manson, by the way. Charlie Manson just probably lost his, more than likely, unless he makes it to 92, his last parole. But it happened while somebody was claiming he believes that Charlie Manson is his father. Matthew Roberts, 44 years old, says Manson, he said he was conceived by Manson in a 1967 orgy, but he can't get conclusive DNA tests because the samples have been contaminated with evil, I would assume.
I'm gonna come clean here. I legitimately hate women, and I'll tell you why. Because I haven't been laid in almost a year, and Charlie Manson takes part in an orgy. He got more than one woman to consent to sex with him.
Yes. Apparently, he was a hell of a talker. He got him to do a lot more than that.
The next time a girl says, I like a guy with a good sense of humor, I should be allowed to punch her in the fucking face. I am a stand-up comic by trade, and I get...
Apparently, it's a secret blend. You need the perfect blend of humor and hate.
I don't claim to know everything about women, but I have gotten laid, and I think it might be because I don't come with that I would punch them in the face part.
Yeah, I wouldn't lead with that.
But that's been my opener for years.
The Secret Service. Another embarrassing moment briefly for the White House. The Secret Service just sent home 11 agents from Colombia days before Obama got there because apparently they couldn't figure out a hooker bill. not to mention the fact that the U.S. military officials on Saturday announced that 5 service members staying at the same hotel as the agents also were probably involved in that. Where they got the hotel investigated and basically there was a money dispute with the hookers. Is that a good sign that Secret Service can't take over?
Why are you going to even argue over money? You're the Secret Service.
I will give you $8 or you will be dead.
This was
you can kill them.
It was Agent Goldstein, wasn't it?
Oh, man.
And in their defense, I have never had a problem with a Colombian hooker.
There you go. You got your Adolf callback. The rare Adolf callback. All right, we got a minute left.
I love that story. You gotta go online and read that story. There's so many funny levels on it. Like the hotel. One of the guys was saying, he goes, we presuppose that they were prostitutes because
we got a minute left. We have what is wrong with people? Drew, who's your douche of the week?
I'm going with Axl Rose.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
It's like, you know what? You have fans. Deal with it.
Yeah. Get over yourself, Chris.
All right, I'm gonna go with Ozzie Guillen. He should have seen that coming. He really should have.
Yeah. You gotta. I don't care how cool it sounds in Spanish. You got to be smarter than that. I was gonna give it to Mel Gibson, but he's apparently too crazy to know what he's doing. So I'm gonna give it to Warner Brothers for thinking it was a good idea to have Mel Gibson. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Drew.